You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent growth in upzoning and higher density living in Aotearoa's urban centres has led to noise complaints against music venues from new residential neighbours, alongside a number of other issues. Taylor McGregor, representative for advocacy group Save Our Venues, has been working with councils and central government in an attempt to navigate these threats facing a key part of the music ecosystem across the motu. I spoke to him about this work and the general health of venues, starting by asking how venues have fared with the growth of higher density living.
Particularly in our metropolitan centres, is a big issue. Going back about, you say, 10, 15 years, the King's Arms had the same problems in Auckland. That's a well-known one, and had to invest a lot of money just to be able to operate. In Christchurch, we've got three venues right next door to each other on St Asaph Street that had otherwise never had any issues with residents, and it's an industrial zone, and now they've got some almost finished townhouses popping up in the property next door, and another one actually in directly next door to Darkroom that's just gone on Trade Me. So Wellington, Meow has apartments going up next door, Valhalla is getting hit with noise complaints and kind of arbitrarily without any knowledge of how to deal with that, and the Crown in Dunedin, there's a development going in next door. So Auckland hasn't quite yet hit us, but it will. And you know, it's great, we want people living in the city, so those are the people that are going to be engaging in the culture. But designing them with music in mind and culture in mind and the nighttime economy and supporting all these things, giving people a reason to live there, there doesn't need to be this conflict with residents, and there should be something that they're proud of, and it's just a case of regulating it better.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, speaking to planning better for, you know, incorporating live music into urban planning, you've been doing some work with councils in regards to planning or trying to accommodate venues into planning decisions. What does that work involved?
Yeah, I mean, we've been, I guess it's kind of born out of crisis. There's been a few direct venues under threat. Save Dunedin Live Music and Dunedin have done a lot of amazing work there with around the Crown, and awaiting a kind of response to a live music action plan down there. We've been, earlier this year, we had the Christchurch Council pass a motion to start work on planning changes, which will take potentially a year to 2 years, but working with them ongoing on what non-regulatory things we can do to build confidence for those venues, and you know, things like the way that noise control operates is a big one. Like, the actual enforcement process is heavily weighted to anyone deeming music to be a disturbance. It's treated immediately as pollution just in the name noise, and not as something that is, you know, well designed, well thought out sound of music can effectively be called up by anyone at any moment and say that this is something that shouldn't happen. In the regulation, that, you know, there's the right to seize property and find venues, and if you're being treated as a blight just in the way that it's set up, and there's no kind of respect for the cultural and economic value that they're giving to these cities. So you know, changing the way that we think about them in the first place and giving them some you know, planning overlays are an interesting thing that's worked overseas, where, you know, you can demarcate an area that this is where nighttime happens, this is where culture happens, and you give, you know, not just the venues there, but all of the venues there and the people that live there know what that space is for. And it's actually, you know, in the short term it might be a protection, but in the long term it's about making our cities exciting places to live.
I'd want to ask more widely about what could councils and government do to support venues more effectively during this time of instability, or, you know, where venues are facing this quite precarious situation. Kind of what could be done to safeguard them or support them through this?
I guess a lot of the work we're doing as Save Our Venues is, you know, there hasn't really been collective representation for venues before, and like we've had a couple of national summits now, and we're getting people to work collaboratively on this, and that's a massive shift. Like the shifting the idea that these like independent hospitality establishments to, like, this is the cultural infrastructure of music in New Zealand, and that holds a lot of weight. And thinking of them as places of community, and, you know, where the art happens, where people are employed to work in the music industry. That's really changing the way that we have this relationship with council and with government, and you know, it's the sustainability, you know, noise is an example of just like, can you exist? That's the first step. But then that's opening a much wider conversation with like recognizing the value that they have and what can go beyond on that. And like, whether that's, you know, Christchurch Council talking about public perception, and that's a start. But then, you know, we can start talking about, do they need to invest in the venues? Do they need to support touring infrastructure? Do, like, is it about, it's about like bringing people into those spaces and actively recognizing them as infrastructure that is needed. I think that it's kind of, it's early days, but it's kind of limitless on what, on how we can think about that. Because I mean, I'm very idealistic about it, but it's like, the venues are like where bands play. It's where they are employed. They get paid for their music. It's, you know, it's soundies, it's poster designers, it's hospitality staff. It's like, this is like the nurturing ground for everything that good and exciting that happens in music. And that, it's not just the council and government we're talking to, but like industry, music industry needs to think of live music as this like essential part of the whole ecosystem. And that's why noise is so scary. It's like, if you lose one of these places, then it becomes very fragile.
Mm.
And if it's, it's the collective effort is very important.
Yeah, I mean, on that topic of funding or kind of support from council, I think maybe in Auckland specifically, where it's kind of Brown's comments around viewing arts and creative funding as non-essential or kind of this nice to have.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not all about funding. I guess that's always nice, but it's the thing about, there is regulatory framework to make these places thrive. And Auckland is a great example of what could happen if you support these places. I mean, you look at the CBD and the struggles that has had since COVID, and, you know, business isn't doing well and there's not people like travelling and living there and whatever it is. What an amazing way to get people to come is you support the culture, you let it happen. And that can be through liquor licensing, that can be through noise regulation, that's public transport, as you make it more accessible and you encourage people to come here, and that will inject vibrancy into the city. That has a run-on effect to hospitality. You know, it has all businesses, if there are more people there, the city will do well. And I think Kay Road is a good example of what happens when, you know, there's maybe 10 active venues up and down there every weekend, and thousands of people are travelling multiple days a week to come there and spend their money and do a good thing in a safe, exciting place. And that's having, you know, effects for everyone else up and down there. There are more people on the street. It's safer. It's exciting. There's like exciting hospitality places opening up. And like, I think particularly with the CRL, like, going into K Road up there, there's an inverse to that, which is like, we need to recognise what the value that, you know, music and culture has up there and protect it. Having 20,000 extra people a day turn up there could be amazing, but it could also, you know, the looming gentrification word has been there for years. It's actually an exciting moment to use that as a kind of like flagship for what can happen when you just let the good shit happen, really.
But making sure it can keep going and kind of supporting it.
Totally, yeah. And that's, yeah, I think like the sustainability of independent music venues and for independent musicians and all that stuff is like, it's people coming out. And Auckland's a massive city, and basically it's all happening in the space of like one block of streets. I mean, and downtown there are venues there, but like, we're a big, physically big city. And there's huge barriers to entry of those people having to actually come all this way. You know, if it's part of a long-term vision for what is Auckland, the city of music, that's bringing people into it and giving people more spaces to engage with it. It's crucial. And that's, you know, it's easy to talk about one block of road, but what about, you know, everyone else?
I'd want to ask about the feedback or engagement you've gotten from councils on advocating for this. How receptive have councils and government been?
Very, honestly. Like, the thought of, I think it's ever really been on their radar, and at the thought of losing them, even though it's come out of like these frights with the noise issue, it has been a chance to get in the room and, you know, talk about some quite long, far-reaching policy about it. Planning changes are difficult, but it's a much bigger chat. It's about like helping, well, councils understanding what's actually happening on the ground, how many people are playing, going, like, it's meant that people have been able to voice how much these spaces mean to them and talk about what they've lost. So councils are receptive, and we're working, like, it's, we're working with the venues and with councils quite regularly on this, and it's, you know, it starts on a local level, and it's a, it's a really exciting opportunity for them to really own what, you know, say, like, oh, we do care about music. And, you know, the government should be getting behind it as well, you know. Election season coming up, is what a wonderful thing to campaign on, if you're, particularly in our cities, is go, like, this is something that we see value in, and let it happen, let the rock and roll happen. I don't know.
Yeah, feeling kind of recognised, or at least not just being kind of sidelined.
No, it's a good news story once you get past the, like, fear that they're going to shut down. You know, it's people working, it's culture happening, it's the nighttime economy, it's making, it's safe places for people to hang out, it's arts development, music sector development. Like, oh god, it just ticks so many boxes. You just got to, like, let it happen, support it.
That was Taylor McGregor from Save Our Venues on navigating the growth of high density and live music venues.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.